The Apostle Paul was going through his testings and trials. He called it a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. But God revealed to him that my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Whenever we are weak, whenever we are not quite up to the task, God sends a supply of superabounding grace. That's more than enough for anything you and I are going through. So those of you who pressed your way here today, in spite of how you were feeling, in spite of the issues you left at home, or maybe brought them with you even as you sat down this morning, God wants his people to know that his grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. His grace is more than enough. Bless the Lord for what we're going through this morning. If we would just by faith receive it, the just shall live by faith. Brothers and sisters, we don't have a choice. We do not have a choice. If we don't trust God, we will not make it. But if we will make a decision daily and reaffirm that decision over and over again, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. And through praise and worship, we begin, as we said, to magnify him. That's what's going to put us over. Worshiping God, praising him, magnifying him, exalting him in the face of what we are confronted with. So in Mark chapter 8, thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 8, starting at around verse number 20. Let's get there, please. Mark chapter 8. How many excited about a new year? Amen. A new season in life. Amen. A new day that the Lord has made. Amen. It's time to get excited. We don't know what all the future holds, but as we used to say, we know who holds our future, who holds tomorrow, and we know who holds our hands. Amen. Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse number 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught or if he saw anything. He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he, Jesus, put his hands upon his eye, again upon his eyes, and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. Amen. He was restored and saw everything clearly. I want to ask the question this morning, do you see anything? Do you see anything? What do you see? What do you see? It's important going into this new year that we begin to ask ourselves, what do I see? Am I seeing anything? Am I seeing God doing anything? Am I seeing any changes in my life? Am I seeing transition and things coming to pass? What do I see? Here's a blind man. Jesus dealt frequently with blindness. Even though all of the accounts aren't recorded as to the individuals, there are times that it says that Jesus healed them all. Sometimes it says, you know, you go and tell them, this is what happened. The blind see, The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. He wanted the people to know that his work, the power working through him, was sufficient for all of their needs, including his ultimate price of sacrificing himself so that they could have eternal life. And so by demonstrating the power of God, he was transforming their ability to see things so that they would receive the kingdom message. That's a part of what healing is designed to do. As we go forth with the good news, he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, give sight to the blind. He told his disciples, freely you have received, now freely give. All of those things are breaking up that hard ground so that people are receptive to the good news of the gospel. And so as he spits on this man's eyes and touches them, he asks them, do you see anything? What do you see? He responded, I see men like trees walking. Yeah. I see something. It's not very clear. It seems like men walking. Jesus touched his eyes again the second time, and it says he was restored and he began to see clearly. A lot of us have resolutions, things that we want to do in this coming year. We want to be better people. Every year people do it, whether they call them resolutions or not. I want to lose weight. I want to stop smoking. I want to get out of debt. I want to get married. I want to, be healthier. I want a better job. We have these things that we begin to think about that we want to accomplish in a new year, in a new season. I want to encourage us that God wants his people to begin to allow him to work on us from the inside out, spiritually transform us so that we're beginning to see what he sees, and then let him bring those things into focus more clearly. During our New Year's Eve service, we had a great time, and in that service some prophetic words went forth of things that God was speaking to his people to be prepared for, to be alerted to, so that we can get on God's timing and begin to flow into a new year. It's important, brothers and sisters, as the people of God, that we don't live haphazard lives. In other words, we're not intended just to journey through life, but we are a purposeful people that are moving towards goals and objectives set by God. We're not just living to be left to our own devices, but God has good works that Paul wrote in Ephesians that he has ordained and established for us even before the world began. So what we want to do is to begin to find out, what are these good works that you prepared for us, Father? What is it that you really want my life's pursuits to be about while I journey through this life? And it takes some contemplation. It takes some time spent with God. We just can't be happy-go-lucky people. We have to be people of focus, people of vision, people of purpose, in order to fulfill the reasons God has saved us and left us here in the earth. If we want to be better, it's going to require that we focus on being better. If we want more out of this life, we're going to have to begin to be attentive to how God wants his people to receive and acquire a better life. We don't have time, brothers and sisters, for trial and error. We don't have time for hit or miss. We don't have time to keep trying something until it works. We don't have time to keep doing something until you happen upon the right way. Not if we're going to be children of God living a successful, victorious life. It requires that we put some effort with the desires. But we want the effort to be good effort. We want our effort to be meaningful. I mean, you know, we could do a lot of stuff. But in the end, is it advancing the kingdom? Is it really equipping me to be a blessing to my family and to others? And only you and I can answer that question. So here's a man, he's blind, he can't see. We don't know how severe it was. We don't know, the Bible doesn't reveal that. But we do see a man that Jesus ministers to. And as we said, he touches him the first time and his sight comes forth, but it's not clear. So then he touches him again and his sight is clearly restored. A couple of things here. We said it Tuesday night. We want to say it again. Sometimes the manifestations of God are immediate, meaning just like that, anon, immediately it happens. Other times the manifestations are progressive, meaning they occur over a period of time. But in either case, we can be assured that God's word is true. Amen. We can be confident that what God says he's going to do, and he will bring to pass all of his promises. So if it doesn't happen immediately, don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on believing God. We finished Tuesday night with Paul's encouragement, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, at the right time, we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't lose heart, if we don't quit. Some of us are right at the verge of the breakthrough. You're right at the verge of the manifestation. And the enemy attacks often get more severe when you're right there at the point of deliverance. So if it seems like it's gotten worse, if it seems like the enemy is escalating, that should be an alert to us that I'm right there. I'm right there. It's right there. And God wants to bring it into view for us so that we won't get weary and quit. So that we won't start stooping to worldly ways to try to accomplish godly things. That's a good word for somebody. Huh? Start stooping to worldly ways to accomplish godly things. No, it doesn't work that way. God, the same God who gives us the vision, the same God who puts that thing in your heart and in your spirit is the same God that's going to give the provision for it. He's the same God that's going to orchestrate and order things so that things come into line if we would trust him by faith. Don't start now trying to make happen what God said he would bring to pass. He just wants some faithful people to walk out by faith what God is saying. You remember Abram? God promised Abram that he was going to give him a son. Abram and Sarai took matters in their own hands and did it their own way. And consequently, something was birthed. But it wasn't the promise of God. It was the efforts of man. And they've been dealing with that thing ever since. God blessed Ishmael. God said 12 kings will come out of Ishmael because God is a God of blessing. But the promise was through Isaac. A lot of things you and I may want to do. We can try to make it come to pass. It might work out okay. It might make you some money. It might make your name great. But if it isn't what God has given us as the vision, it is not of the promise of God. And we need to decide, am I going to settle or am I going to receive what it is that God has given me? Some of us are talking about doing vision boards. And I think it's a good thing, as long as the visions are coming from the Holy Ghost. Amen. As long as the visions are coming from prayer and the Holy Spirit, I think it's great. But if it's just stuff I want, you can get it. We can get it. There are some things we can get by sheer willpower, by determination, by having enough money, by making the right connections. We can get it. But is that what God wants for his people? Yeah, so we want to be sure. We want to spend a little time, spend some time in the Word, spend some time in prayer so that God can clarify some things for us. Don't just stop because it's getting a little better. This man could have went away. Oh, wow, I'm seeing better than I saw. At least I see men as trees. That's better than what I had at first. But Jesus didn't stop there. And he's not going to stop there with us. I think you can clap a little better than that one. See, you're not clapping for me. You're clapping for the revelation. I said Jesus didn't stop there. Thank God he finishes what he starts. Will we believe him to finish what he has started in us? He that hath begun a good work in us shall perform it, shall complete it, shall finish it, shall bring it to pass until the day of Jesus Christ's return. And we should have that expectation. We say it over and over again because that promotes hope and faith. I have an expectation. What God started in me, he's going to finish. So God, I thank you that I feel better. Now let's finish it. I thank you that I see some better. Now let's finish it. I thank you that I got a little bit more money in my pocket at the end of the month. But God, let's finish it. I thank you that me and my wife or husband, we're talking a little more. Now God, let's finish this thing. I thank you that I'm getting a little more money on my job. I got a little more raise. But God, let's finish what you promised, what you said. We got to believe God to finish. And we've got to position ourselves for the finish. So what God does, he begins to give us the vision for how he sees things. And if we will embrace the vision, brothers and sisters, and begin to see it the way God sees it, now he'll show us how to work with him to bring it to pass. Jesus went about calling disciples. And you remember he first started off and he called, who were the first two he called? Peter and Andrew. Andrew and Peter. You can put it in that frame. And he calls them and he says, follow me. And I will make you to become fishers of men. And the Bible says they left their nets and followed him. Man, just that word created in them a vision of what it must be like to stop fishing for these fish and start reeling in people into the kingdom of God, that they would leave their business. They left the nets. They didn't even put the stuff away. They just left the nets and said, left dad and them out there in the boats. And they just left at that vision that Jesus created for them. Okay. Then they found, who were the other two after that? James and John, or was it Philip and Nathaniel? Either James, John, Philip, whoever the other two was, he saw two more. And he says, follow me, Zebedee's son, so James and John. He says, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And they left their fathers fishing and went on and followed Jesus. Casting that vision that they caught. They got a vision of that thing. And that was enough for them to change their vocation. I mean, their vocation. They were still fishermen by occupation, but they changed their life's calling. My life's calling now is to go and fish for souls to come into the kingdom. And that's what God does for us with his word. He casts a vision. If we will read his word, he begins to show us who we are in him. He shows us what his plan is for us to be ambassadors. We talked about that weeks ago. He shows us what it is to live victoriously. He shows us what it's like to be children of God so that we can start getting that vision. And we can embrace that thing and make life changes accordingly. And if it's not clear, we can do just like he did. Wait for God to clarify it. What do you see? See men walking like trees. I see some stuff, but it ain't clear yet. Well, Jesus, keep on. Touch me again. And the good thing about it, we can be honest with God because he knows everything. See, you can't tell everybody everything because, first of all, they can't always do nothing about it. They're not always going to receive it right. They'll use it to judge you, not to help you. So you can't tell everybody everything. Amen. But God, we can tell him everything because he already knows. He just wants us to be honest with ourselves. So, man, what do you see? Oh, I see great. I got 20. No, you didn't. You saw men walking like trees. Huh? Okay, let me touch you again and clarify this thing. Huh? See, I told you a few weeks ago, this fake it till you make it thing, that might work in the world. But for the people of God, we ain't faking nothing. We ain't got to fake nothing. The more honest we are with ourselves, the more God can now work with me to get me where he wants me to be. Amen. We need to be honest with ourselves. So that's another reason we pray. That's another reason we go into that secret place. That's another reason we have these secret closets and we have these altars at home and we have these places where we can get along with God. God can deal with me at the very core of who I am and bring me to a place of reality in where I am. And now let me show you where I want to take you. Let me show you where I want to carry you. And folks, that's really going to be the heart of the matter. Minister Johnson, they were talking from 2 Chronicles this morning as part of the church school lesson about the glory of God, the tabernacle, then the temple that was built for the presence of God and how the Ark of the Covenant was brought in with great celebration being carried. And then how as they all left out, the priests, the Levites, the singers, the musicians, as they left out, God's glory filled the temple. And it says the priests were unable to minister because of the glory, that cloud of God. God allowed them to see. At least he allowed Solomon to see. The others may have seen that glory that so filled the house of God that they couldn't really minister because of God's presence, the thick, awesome presence of God. God wants us to begin to see him. Glorious. All powerful. Ever present. So as we meditate in the word, saints, we begin to see God. We talked about magnifying him, seeing him bigger. We need to start seeing God bigger, seeing the glory of God, the manifestations of God that drives out every sickness, every disease, every demon, every devil, every enemy, every fear, every worry. The presence of God will drive it out. Then they took us to the New Testament, where we are the temple of God, who lives in us by the Holy Spirit. God dwells in us by his Spirit. And if God dwells in us, this same God who the Ark of the Covenant represented in the Old Testament as being there, this same God whose glory filled that place where they couldn't stand and minister, then you read over in the chapter 7, as they made these offerings, the glory of God was so full, they couldn't even come in. God's whole presence filled the temple. They couldn't even enter because the presence of God. Now think about this. What if you walked up to the door? The doors were unlocked. You opened the door but couldn't get in. The door is open now and you still can't get in. Something's stopping you from getting in the door. That's how the glory of God was so present, they couldn't even get in the temple for worship. What is he saying? When God's presence really comes in, human effort has to move. The things that we would have to labor to do. The glory of God says, no, the labor isn't what's important. My presence is what's important. Huh? When the glory shows up, you don't have to struggle to sing. You just sing under the anointing. When the glory shows up, you don't have to struggle and sweat and grunt and stuff. You just flow with the anointing. When the glory comes in, God does the healing. God does the delivering. God does the revelation. Huh? And that's what the people of God should be seeking. God, fill this house with your glory. If you're sick today, we need to spend some time in the presence of God because the Spirit of God will drive out the sickness. Will drive out the sickness. If you're being tormented by demons or by evil spirits, if your house is so fearful, you're afraid to stay in your house after dark, you need the glory of God to come in and drive out everything that shouldn't be in your house. Folks, this is serious. We are the people of God. God wants his people completely free. And it's the Spirit of God and the glory of God that drives it all out. Absolutely. Now the anointing and the glory are different, but even the anointing, the Bible says, removes burdens and destroys yokes. If you're just operating under the anointing, that should be loosing stuff off of us. But then when the glory of God's presence really starts filling us from the inside out, no sickness can stay where the glory of God is. No fear can stay where the glory of God is. No demon can stay where the glory of God is. No worry can stay where the glory of God is. We want the glory, the presence of God. And God says he inhabits the praises of his people. We want the presence of God. Praise God. I mean, like you never praised him before. Take the shackles off. Take the governor off of your praise. Take the chains off of your praise. Take the pride off of your praise. Take the worry off your praise. Take the arrogance off your praise. Elder said it this morning. David danced before the Lord, danced out his clothes. He's the king. But he wasn't concerned about how he looked. He wasn't concerned about what the people thought about him. He wasn't concerned even about how his wife looked at him. He says, I'm happy to have the presence of God with me. And when he realized that God was with him, says he danced before the Lord with all his might. He didn't hold nothing back. He let go. Amen. Yeah. And his wife was embarrassed. You know how sometimes you fine, but the people around you are embarrassed. How the king displayed and comported himself before his people. She was embarrassed. But David Lucifer's response was, and I shall be yet more vile than this. In other words, you ain't seen me praise him yet. If you think I embarrassed myself just then, wait a minute. I'm about to show you something else. I'm really going to embarrass you this time. I'm really going to embarrass you this time, because I'm about to let go in here. I'm about to lose my mind in here. I'm about to praise God like a crazy man. I'm about to praise God like you never seen me praise him before, because I'm glad that God is with me. You can praise him like you want, but some of us too dignified. Some of us too cute. Ain't that right, blessing? You know, some of us used to go to the high church. Y'all know what a high church was. The high church was the dignified church. The high church was the snooty church. The high church, you didn't say amen. The high church, you didn't clap your hands. The high church, you just sat there. Oh, but when God starts moving on the inside, I just can't hold my peace, huh? Something on the inside, moving on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I've got something on the inside, moving on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Yeah, yeah, hallelujah. I want the glory of God. I want the glory of God moving all in my body, all in my home, all in my car, all in the workplace, all in the meeting place. God, let your glory fill this place. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, Lord. We're working too hard, saints. I said we're working too hard. But God wants to fix this thing. As Minister Gloria was teaching this morning, she said, can you imagine the expense, the time, the energy that went into constructing this temple? The years that the temple was under construction. And after all of that, if God's presence isn't there, what a waste. What a waste. We can have a beautiful edifice. We can look as pretty and as handsome as we want to look. We can look the part. But if the glory of God isn't upon our lives, oh, what a waste. Oh, what a waste of time. Oh, what a waste of energy. Oh, what a waste of money. Oh, what a sacrifice. If the glory isn't there. So God wants you to get a vision of how this thing is supposed to be. When the people of God get together. When the people of God get on one accord. When the singers and the musicians get together. When the ushers and the servants get together. When the preachers and the pew get together. How God can fill the place and begin to transform everything. Everything. God wants to change everything in our lives to make it better. And if we're not there yet, it's time to get a vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. The NIV says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. A lot of us are unrestrained. We're undisciplined because we don't have a vision from God. And the vision comes from the Word, and it comes through prayer. The Word of God will give you a vision for how we're supposed to walk this thing out. I'm going to quiet it down, then we're going to be done. I said the Word of God will give us a vision. Now, I know God is able because He does by His Spirit give open visions. He allows us to see visions clearly. But if you don't get a vision in your mind, you got to get it from the Word. And let the Word create the vision. When Jesus broadcast the vision to Andrew and Peter and to James and John, He didn't write it down. They wrote it down. He spoke it. And they did what Habakkuk said. They wrote the vision and made it plain. They wrote it on their hearts. And that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to take the Word of God and write it on the tables of our hearts till we get that vision coming up of who God says I am, what God says I'm supposed to do, what God has for me in 2020. 2020, folks, that ought to tell you right there. I got 2020 vision. Huh? I got 2020 vision. I can see clearly in my spirit. I can see clearly in my mind's eye. And thank God my eyes, I can see clearly. It's time for some 2020 vision, ain't it, man of God? It's time for some 2020 vision. It's time for some 2020 vision up in here. I'm almost done. Let me finish with this. The number of 20 is significant because it talks about a period of trial, of testing, but also a period of victory and success. See, God never leaves His people in trial and testing. God brings us out always to take you in. Huh? Well, say it again. God doesn't just bring you out to leave you. God brings you out to take you in. So while you're going through the test and the trials, that's not the end. So don't let it be the end. I said, don't let it be the end. Whatever you're going through today, don't let that be your end. Don't care what it is. If it's terminal cancer, don't let that be your end. Don't let terminal cancer be your end. Let complete healing and restoration be your end. See, men create visions too, by words. Words create pictures and images. That's why the enemy attacks the mind. That's why Paul wrote, you've got to take every thought captive. And you have to make it obedient, make it submit to the knowledge of Christ. Because words create images and pictures. And we lend it to it, and we start making the thing vivid. We add the details. We add the color. You know, the enemy gives a thought, and we take that thought and we make that thing come alive. But the devil is a liar. It's time for us to get this word. Take this word. No, leave it. Take this word and let this word create the image of who God says we are. And then you put the color to that thing, and you bring that thing in by prayer and by worship and by praise. And that's how you're going to do it in 2020. Everybody's casting visions. The words, the enemy, your doctor cast a vision. This is what we saw. This is what the x-ray said. This is what's going on with your body. He's casting a vision. She's casting a vision. Now it's time for us to get God's vision. Give me five more. It's time for you to get that vision. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate your expertise. I appreciate your knowledge. I know you went to school for that. They told me you're good at what you do. Now let me go get a second opinion. Yes. Now God, what you gonna say on this matter? In fact, his opinion should be the first opinion, but if you didn't go that route, it's not too late. You still living? It's not too late. You're still breathing? It's not too late. You're still in your right mind? It's not too late. Go get another opinion. But this time get it from God. Get it from the Spirit. Get it in prayer. Let the Holy Ghost say what God is saying about this thing. And then we're going to have a choice. Whose report will I believe? Whose vision is going to come in more clearly? Because whichever one we meditate on, that's the one that's going to come clearer. Y'all praise him, but I want you to hear that one. Whichever one we meditate the most on, that's the one that's going to be more clearer. That's the one that's going to be more dominant. So until we see God bigger than the giants, unless we see God bigger than all those ites, unless we see God bigger than sickness, bigger than cancer, bigger than debt, bigger than fear, bigger than diabetes, bigger than blindness, unless we start seeing God bigger than it, it is what's going to dominate. And whichever one we agree with, that's the one we bring to pass in the earth. Kingdom principles, the power of agreement. Whichever one we agree with, that's the one that we bring to pass. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the sons of, to the children of men. Whichever one we agree with, that's the one that manifests. Well, you know, so-and-so died. This one died. Pastor Tony Evans' wife died. This pastor died. This bishop died. This wife died. All of them, yeah. Everybody's going to leave here one way, one time or another. But we need to start leaving here God's way. And not the same way that those who don't know their God leave. We need to put a moratorium on sickness and death in this congregation and in your family. We need to cut it off and say enough is enough in Jesus' name. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. My wife and my children shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The saints of God shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. With long life will God satisfy us and show us his salvation. In the name of Jesus. When the enemy comes in, comma. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Lord lifts up a standard against him. What is that standard? The word of God. When the enemy comes in, like a standard, the Lord lifts up like a flood, the word of God. And it's time for you and me to lift up the standard. When the enemy that comes into our situations, like a flood, we need to lift up the standard. Like a flood, the word of God comes to meet it. Like a flood, the word of God sweeps it away. Now we gotta stop, but listen to this. You've seen those flood waters. You've seen those mudslides. You've seen waters just take everything in its path out of the way. It's destroyed lakes, it's destroyed forests, it's destroyed communities. When that water from the high country, that mudslide, that water starts coming in, it will wash away anything in its path. We need to let the standard of God, the word of God, start washing away every destructive thing that's in our lives. Are we listening this morning? And we need to start today. Because the enemy is going to come for this word. And you and I have to decide he's not stealing this word. Get thee behind me, Satan. You have no place here. I believe the word of God. I'm standing on the promises of God. All of his promises are yes and amen. For my entire family, I've got this vision. And we're going to make it plain. It's going to come in clear. And then we're going to agree with God. And as we agree with the word of God, we're going to see the manifestations come. And again, it may not be as clear at first, but we're going to stay with God and let Jesus keep bringing that thing into full focus. So now when we make our vision boards, and now when we start putting stuff on the refrigerator, and now when we start mapping this thing out, we've got some direction because it's coming from the word and from the Spirit of God. Yeah. And if you want that Bentley, you can have it, but just make sure that God wants me to have that Bentley. Because with the Bentley comes Bentley expenses. And Bentley repairs. And Bentley insurance. And getting Bentley parts to fix that. So I mean, if you want it and you believe God wants you to have it, then get you one. Amen. Exactly. Then get you one. And when you get it, lay hands on it and say, it will not break down. It will not fail in Jesus' name. You ain't going to cost me no extra money, but routine maintenance. Just lay hands on it. Amen. Folks, we got to stop, but these are spiritual principles. And I want you to get it, because in the excitement, we may miss the principle. Jesus spoke to everything. He spoke to people. He spoke to God. He spoke to the devil. He spoke to trees. He said, speak to mountains. He spoke to demons. He spoke to the wind. He spoke to the waves. He spoke to everything. And if we're going to live successful, you got to start speaking. You got to speak to that refrigerator. You got to speak to that washing machine. You got to speak, amen, to that car. You got to speak to your pocketbook. You got to speak to your body. You got to speak to devils and demons. We got to speak to sickness and disease. You got to speak to those bills and speak to that debt. He's the example, yes, and prophet has said, don't be scared. Speak boldly and pray for boldness. The apostle Paul prayed for boldness. He says that I may have boldness to declare the word of God as I should. The disciples returned after being ridiculed by the Sanhedrin. And it says as they prayed for boldness. And the house was shaken where they were. Pray for boldness. That when you're faced with the doctor's report, when you're faced with your financial situation, when you're faced with situations, pray for boldness and then speak the word of God in faith. Well, I don't know. You better start knowing. The Bible says the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If we ain't exploiting no situations, it's because we don't know God. Or we're afraid. We're done, but we're supposed to exploit every situation for the kingdom of God. Not for selfish gain, not for greed, but for the kingdom of God. We're to do exploits for the kingdom. We're to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. We're to be people of faith. We're to be aggressive. We shared the other night and we are done. The kingdom of God suffereth violence. The violent, the aggressive, take it by force. The kingdom of God promotes aggression. Just by virtue of the kingdom being in the earth, the enemy got worked up, got stepped up, his aggression, his tactics, his schemes, his strategies. He kicked up in another gear. But the people of God, like I said, we've got to meet the force of the enemy with greater force from God. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The Lord is with us. He always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We got to meet the enemy with force. David said, by God, I'll run through a troop. I'll leap over a wall. When I find the enemy, I'm going to ground him like powder. I'm going to grind him to dust. Everywhere the enemy's in my path, I'm just going to step all over him and grind him to dust until he gets out of my way and I finish what God has told. Get aggressive, people. I ain't saying get nasty with people. Get aggressive with the enemy. I want to clarify that, Ed. I'm not saying get nasty with people. I'm saying get aggressive with the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principality, the rulers of this world, spiritual darkness in high places. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. We've got to put on our weapons, our clothing of warfare. Then we got to get aggressive in the spirit. Amen. Amen. We're done. What do you see? The vision of God.